What kind of argument do you intend to make when you go in there to that joint session of Congress in not accepting some of the electors from those contested states?
Well, this is really a constitutional question. Did states run their elections process and count their votes according to the Constitution to determine the electors that they're sending to the Electoral College? And in some states, I firmly believe they did not conduct their elections constitutionally. And one state that comes to mind is Pennsylvania. They changed their rules and allowed for mail-in ballots without the approval of their state legislature. And the federal law is very clear that the state legislature alone has that authority, not the governor, not the secretary of state, not local election boards, but the state legislature. And that's what the debate is going to be about tomorrow. I don't know if there will be four or six states or something in between who will be contested, but in each case, the law that dates back to 1887, the Electoral Count Act of 1887, states that if a single House member and a single senator object, that will trigger a two-hour debate on the floor of the House, and then all members of Congress will vote on whether or not to accept the electors from that state. I will vote to object to states who unconstitutionally ran their elections without the approval of their state legislature, and Pennsylvania was really the poster child for what we're talking about.
Do you expect a different outcome? I mean, do you expect when this is over that Donald Trump will still be president?
I don't at all. In fact, this is really akin to 2000, 2004, 2016, when Democrats objected in the same way that Republicans are objecting tomorrow. In the aftermath of the 2000 election, by the way, as an example, Florida immediately went through a process of fixing their election laws in their states so that what happened in Florida in 2000 would never happen again. If you remember the hanging chads and everything that happened in the aftermath of the Florida election of 2000. So my hope is that what will come out of tomorrow will be twofold. One, states like Pennsylvania will be so embarrassed, and Pennsylvanians will be so embarrassed that their processes are being exposed, that they'll demand that their state legislators gather in their upcoming state legislative session and do whatever they can to make sure that never happens again. And two, that Congress can come out of this and introduce election reforms like I intend to do in a bill that I'll release on Thursday that will address and ban processes like all mail-in ballots and ballot harvesting, especially, and dive into some reforms that will make sure that what happened in 2020 never happens again as well. At the end of the day, too many Americans have lost faith in our elections process and the institution of our elections. And tomorrow is the beginning of a process, I hope, that will restore that faith so that when we go to the ballot box and vote in 2022 and 2024, we can have more trust that our vote will matter instead of what so many voters walked away from with a sense that their vote didn't count in the 2020 election.
What about the people who object, who are Republicans even, like, say, Senator Roger Wicker of Mississippi, who said he doesn't believe it's a good idea to vote not to accept the electors' decisions because it disrespects the decisions of those states?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sympathetic to that argument that Senator Wicker and many of my colleagues have made as well. But the Constitution is very clear. It grants Congress this authority to count the electors that come from the state, and then subsequent laws that were based upon the 12th Amendment and the constitutional provisions related to this process, like the Electoral Count Act of 1887, spell out this process and allow for members of Congress to object to how states conducted their election processes based on the Constitution. So in this case, I believe it's very clear that COVID exposed many states' processes, but at the same time, it also gives us an opportunity to hold those states accountable. And that's what I hope the debate will do tomorrow, is ultimately hold states like Georgia and Pennsylvania accountable for ensuring that they follow the Constitution in future elections and change their processes to do that. And that's what I'll be calling on them to do tomorrow and in the days to come.
You talked about some possible reforms in Congress. How much of a hold do you think that the federal Congress should have on state legislatures? What kind of purview do you think that Congress should have as far as controlling how states conduct elections?
Yeah, very, very, very little. I mean, the Congress have very little say in how states conduct their elections. But at the same time, when we're talking about federal elections and elections that determine the electors who appear at the Electoral College and determine ultimately the outcome of a federal national election for president of the United States of America, that's something that the Congress should debate and have a say in those processes as historically we have. I mean, from the 12th Amendment of the Constitution to the Electoral Count Act of 1876, there is a role here for the Congress. And that's a role that we should have a debate about tomorrow. So this is a healthy, robust debate, a good opportunity for us to discuss these constitutional issues tomorrow. And that's something that I believe the American people deserve as we try to restore trust and integrity to our election process.
All right. Here's the big question.
Let me say as well, if you don't mind me adding to that.
No problem.
I've talked at length with Secretary Connie Lawson, our great Secretary of State. She's the very best Secretary of State that we have in the entire country. And there are some areas where she and I agree that Congress should implement reforms, like a bill that I recently introduced and I'm going to reintroduce later this week that would require states to match their voter rolls with Social Security databases to be eligible for federal grant dollars. I mean, that's a common sense way that we can ensure better integrity in our election process. And those are ideas that I've talked to Secretary of State Lawson about, and where she agrees that we can make common sense reforms.
All right. So what I consider a big question anyway here is, what do you make of the phone call to the Georgia Secretary of State?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't listened to it fully. I will admit that the conversation made me cringe. The bottom line of the conversation and trying to influence the actions at the state level, but I haven't listened to the entire conversation. I of course, as a Republican, I wish that conversation hadn't happened, but it did, and you know, this just goes to show how tricky these conversations are, but how significant the debate will be tomorrow. I mean, on the floor of the House of Representatives tomorrow, Jim Jordan on the Republican side will lead the debate over how these states conducted their elections. There's so much at stake here, and ensuring that it never happens again is my ultimate goal and purpose of objecting to the states who unconstitutionally conducted their elections. But I will readily admit that the recording of the call between the president and the Secretary of State in Georgia certainly made me cringe.
What was cringeworthy about it to you exactly? I'm just want to get some clarification on it. Some people have interpreted as President Trump was not asking him to go and manufacture votes, but to find votes that were already there. I've heard actually a couple of different interpretations of it. What would you be saying right now that you objected to?
Well, it was a private conversation between the President of the United States and Secretary of State that the Secretary of State privately recorded and released. And, you know, at the end of the day, I wish the conversation never happened, but I want what the President wants. I want more integrity in the process. I want states like Georgia to run their elections in a way that abides by the process that the Constitution lays out. You know, we're now into 2021. And it should never be the case that it takes days or weeks for a state to count their votes. I mean, that for decades in modern times, we've had election days and winners declared on election night. And the Constitution is very clear that we will have an election day and not election months, not elections that carry out for weeks where we count ballots after election day. There was a lot about this election because of COVID that many of these elections in these states were conducted in unconstitutional ways. And I hope that those states like Georgia and Pennsylvania will be so embarrassed when their processes are exposed on the floor of the House tomorrow as we debate these significant constitutional issues, that they will do everything they can in those states to make sure that it never happens again. That's what the president wants. I mean, the president is obviously dialed in very much to the details of election processes like the one in Georgia. And you heard that in the recordings of this conversation. That's what I want. I believe that that's what the people of Georgia want. That's what the people of Pennsylvania want. I know it's what the people of Indiana want.